So Chris Scott apparently has this radical idea, right, of how to fix the fixture so, you know, things would be even for the teams, right? And it's basically, you know, instead of splitting up the bye rounds, just having a week off of footy in the middle of the year. Is that really radical? And is this the first good suggestion he's ever given?
I'm pretty sure that's not radical. That's no. Actually quite logical.
100%. Yeah, no, legit.
Is that so that he can introduce that those Legends games where Jonathan Brown and Favola line up on each other?
I think he wants them involved.
Yeah. He just wants to play and man up on his brother.
Right? That's it. That's
I thought you were going to say the radical fixture idea was let's have a gather round at Cadinia Park.
True.
Or Geelong gets a free win to start off the season because it's cold down there or something like that.
Well, look, the team's that bad now that it would actually make the fixture fair.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, anyway, thoughts on that, Chris?
I don't like Chris Scott, bro, but I do like watching his presses when he loses. This guy loves to talk, bro. His press is, every other coach wants to get out of the presser. Chris Scott just wants to keep talking, man. It's like 24 minutes and he's still rolling.
It's him and his brother, man. I'm telling you.
They just love to talk, man. And he likes to do that. I wouldn't like confirm it, but I also definitely wouldn't want to deny it. But I'm not going to confirm, but yeah, just, guys, I'm not denying it either.
You know, the umpires have the most difficult job in the world. But in saying that, that was a disgraceful call and they cost us the game.
Hawkins, like, I don't want to make it too serious, but I don't want to make it too light either. Like, bro, what are you saying, bro? What are you saying? Anyway.
They talk with it saying a whole lot of nothing, those two.
Oh, yeah.
But his idea?
But look, the idea, personally, I would prefer it. And I think there's something you could do during that week off that's not AFL related, as in the main competition. You could have the under-18s something, like a tournament that day. Or
that's true. Televise a game of all the young guys. Because everyone talks about, you know, all the young draftees coming through the system anyway. Why don't you just put them on TV and actually get people to watch it?
Exactly. And it could even be like they do the Vic Metro, Vic Country and so on, state-based. They could even just do a best of everyone, two teams, just one game, like a showcase or something. Because quite frankly, there's teams like North Melbourne who have our own things we're looking at in a development, but also the draft, where it's like, hey, if I could see a game where like all of the best kids around the country are playing in just one game, I would watch that with a lot of intent. So that's one idea. But yeah, I like the idea, but it's never going to happen. The AFL wants their money every week. So yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, look, another idea that, you know, I'd mentioned last year, but AFLW All-Stars, I reckon you give that a run. And you know, because if you want to make that brand something that people want to watch, you got to showcase it. You got to highlight the best of that league. So yeah.
That's true.
Look, that goes along with my idea, so I guess, sure, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can have one on one night and then the other one on the, you know, one on the Friday, one on the Sat.
I've got a radical idea.
A radical idea?
Yeah. How about next year, round zero doesn't happen and we start with round one? What about that?
For radical?
What about that?
Start the numbers with one?
Start the numbers with one, not zero.
Look, it might just work.
Hopefully.
It might just work, man.
Here's another radical idea. Next year, even if we do have round zero, a team doesn't have two buys before another team even has one. How about that?
That's too far, man.
Look, I think Dana, you gotta settle down. I think we might have to go back to the Brayside studio.
Sorry, yeah, yeah.
Dana's going to be crazy. The plot, man. No, it's nice to be back on the couch. Shout out to BBB for, you know, highlighting, you know, that they missed the couch.
It's a soft couch, bro.
It is a nice couch. It is very comfortable.
It's the reason for the long pods, because we settle in.
That's it. Otherwise, those seats, you know, they kind of squeak a bit. Yeah. You know, you can't ever quite.
You guys
know.
Have that alarm going off that no one else can ever hear.
Yeah, like. Exactly. No, that's the thing.
The imaginary alarm people
just think we're schizophrenic. Yeah. Like, it's just like, George, stop the alarm. You know.
No, it's good to be back on. I was spewing. I couldn't be on last week to talk about the North Collingwood game. So I've got double the amount of notes for this week. So.
I needed you, man.
Sorry, I got you this week.
George wanted to skip the segment entirely. He's like, oh, you done?
No.
No, bro, I'm not done.
I want to do some more, you know.
I got you this week. Don't worry.
Nah, geez, man, when North are actually a good team, like in the future, you guys will be insufferable, man.
Sorry, in the future.
In the future.
In the future, you mean...
In like 3-4 years when you're like at the top, I might have to just take some like sick leave or something from this pod, I think.
Bro, I thought you took no sick leave, bro.
I think sick leave from the pod.
That happens, I'm just going to basically say, yeah, look, we just spanked another team. Yeah. That's about
Which is about what I'm going to say when we start talking about the Blues.
Well, why don't you start us off? I actually have a question for you, George, before
you
talk.
Tell me.
All year, and Matt will probably agree, you've been quite conservative, knowing that
just
you're a good team.
Down,
you're coming down a bit. You've sort of had this quite admirable confidence, but not cockiness, right? Mm. And I appreciate that. I want you now to admit that you think Carlton's going to play in the grand final. Admit
well,
it.
Well, the thing is you've gone early, but I was going to say that.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So let me wind it back, right? And I'll come to your point. You guys can appreciate being at the bottom because that's what it is, and that's what Carlton has been. It has taken so long, but I'm here to say officially, cut the rope. Carlton is a very, very good team, and it's just clicked over, right? So under Vossi, he's the coach now for three years. His third year. When he came in, Cripps won the Brownlow that year. We started to play some strong football. I remember we beat Sydney that year and it was like a real transformative win. We come, we have a really good start to the season. We taper off, we lose to Collingwood in the last game and we don't make finals. Still a good year. Last year, we start off the season okay. Then we have our shocking fall where everyone's losing their mind. Vossi can't coach. His team sucks. The rebuild's failed.
We make that TikTok.
And then they hit rock bottom and they go, actually, no, boys, let's actually tackle them.
That was the ultimate shit on your team to help them turn around. Like the TikTok power was just crazy that week.
Bro, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. And so
someone commented like last week that video, like, well, this aged well. clever comment. Seriously, like.
It's almost like they think that I didn't want them to be good.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like,
was I wearing a Carlton beanie or an Essendon beanie? I don't know. Anyway, so they hit rock bottom and they bounce back and we know they had that massive run to the end of the year, right? And then this year, there's been consistency and then we've just reached this point where this is a real team. And by going through that journey, what I've learned is I've been able to identify what a really, really solid premiership contending team looks like and what a kind of good team but is not quite there yet looks like. When Carlton lost to Brisbane in the prelim, Carlton was never going to win the flag that year. No matter how good their run was, they just weren't that team. We're that team now. I'm not saying we're going to win the flag because there's a team called Sydney that are pretty damn good, right? But Carlton has got to the point now where they're so consistent. And it's progressed through the year. At the start of the year, they weren't that team. And I had highlighted stuff like the bottom five players still aren't good enough. Our small still aren't good enough.
We've got no small forwards.
Our half forwards aren't good. Our pressure rating this week against Geelong was over 200 the whole game. Our tackle pressure was crazy. Remember when Richmond when they were good, in the last quarters, they just run over teams? Mm. It was close, 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 and then bam, they've kicked three goals and they've won. That's what Carlton's doing. All this soft tissue injuries, crap. Well, this team is running over the opposition at forward from the stoppage, just tearing them apart. And this game against Geelong was just like the complete performance. We just bullied them the whole game. Mm. And you just look at the improvement that's come. You've got Tom DeConing, who's always been promising. He has just launched himself into like either the best ruck in the comp at the moment or one of the best, right? Mm. Elijah Hollands has come in for Dow or for Fisher, and he's that midfield forward half classy player that we need. Zach Williams has come in as a change of the role in the middle of the season and provided a massive, massive role in the forward 50. Chincotta. Who's Chincotta? Suddenly he's a great tagger that's kicking goals. Jordan Boyd has come in and cemented a spot. Lockie Cowan has come in and cemented a spot. Always has gone in the offseason and worked on his running power and his burst, and he's bursting from stoppage a little bit. Akers came in a couple of years ago. The guy runs he just keeps running. I don't know what he's made of. Right? I'm watching him literally run from one side. He grabbed the ball. I'm at the game and somehow I still don't work out how he's on the other side of the field as I'm watching him just running crazy. Like Lockie Fogarty, like a random player. All these people have kind of come into the team and they're playing as a team. They're playing tough. They're playing consistent and there's just not holes anymore, man. Mackay can kick a drop punt. Like just everything has... And Kurnow's Mackay... Wiedering, McGovern, Cripps, Walsh are all the elite talent, are all playing good at the same time. It's just all clicked, man. And you just you watch this team and there's just faith now. Like, I just know what Carlton's going to do week in, week out. Again, I'm not saying we're suddenly like the best team in the land and we're going to win the flag, but we have got to the point now, finally, where this team is rock solid in what their identity is. And you have to beat Carlton. And it's bloody hard to do. So it's pretty cool to see.
That's fair. I was going to jump in when you said that you guys went crazy in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter. There was something that I saw in the last four Carlton games, right? Yeah. Fourth quarter, the first 10 to 15 minutes in the fourth quarter, you guys have won them all by at least four goals.
Yeah.
I think it's been like 4-goal zip, 5-goal zip, 6 yeah. goal zip. It's been like that. So like at that point of the game, just, you know, turning it on, it's demoralizing for teams.
It is. And seriously, it's like when it's like, all right, you know, when the good teams, all right, it's time for them to make a stand. Boom, they do it. Sydney has done it throughout the whole year where they have their moments like, all right, guys, stop taking the piss. And they kick like 10 goals straight, right? Carlton is doing that to teams now. And and they're doing it with such power. You know, when you watch those really, really good teams, like even the Giants a couple of years ago when they were the older version of the Giants when they made the finals, and, you know, they'd get the turnover and there'd be like 6 Giants free running forward. That's what it looks like now with Carlton. They just got options everywhere. So it's pretty cool. And that momentum-based stuff is the bet. When you're at the footy, I was there Friday night, and when when Carlton's on the roll because their crowd is so big, it's the best, man. And that's when I get the craziest, when I'm surrounded by Carlton supporters and the kid, I'm just like, bury him, kill him. It's like you at the Royal Rumble, right? It's like, murder them. Like I was literally at the game on Friday and we had kicked a couple goals in a row. And I'm like, bury them, man. And I said worse than that, but this is friendly for the pod. And it's just the best, man, because I don't know what it is about Geelong, but they obviously bring something out of me, because that round 7 game where I was super pissed off, where I thought we should have won, I wasn't really scared of Geelong, but we still lost. This was kind of redemption, and we just killed them, man.
Spanked them.
Spanked them, bro.
Love it, Georgie. Mm. Yeah, look, that natural progression that you spoke of, you're clearly a top 14 now.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It comes like this. It's a wave. You get good, and then you have a couple losses that you kind of compare to something like the Bulldogs, right? The Bulldogs can play some really, really good football, but then they have games you're like, what are you doing? And then you say, well, there's so much talent there. Why aren't they playing their best footy? And then they'll spank a team. And then they'll lose to a team that they shouldn't. They're kind of riding. Carlton is kind of a progression above that, where now they're just a flat line of just, this is a rock solid team.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good to see.
No, I love it, man.
No, well said, man. Well said. Nice to see that Geelong suck now as well.
Yeah, I'm over them. Oh, by the way, Geelong, if you send half your players to Retirement Village in one go, you'll probably get a discount on the thing. Just go.
There we go.
Sick of you guys.
You know a guy? Or?
Tom Hawkins, right? I don't know if you want to read into this moment. He injured himself this game. It was almost symbolic of the changing of God.
It's over.
I almost like Geelong just got belted. They've been belted the last couple of weeks. Tom Hawkins is injured and he's limping off the field. Geelong is finished, finally. Yeah. They're done.
Yeah. And you know what? It's even more symbolic because I feel like maybe not last year, but the year before at least, it was always the top 5 forwards in the game. You go, you know, Cameron, and then you go between the Carlton boys, and then you go Tom Hawkins.
Yeah, that's right.
And now, you know, Tom Hawkins is, we'll say, fallen over. I don't know. We'll see how he goes in the next, you know, in the coming weeks, if he's going to be all right, you know, or if he's going to retire. Like, who knows, man? But, yeah, there we go. It's Carlton's time, baby.
Just on Geelong, they still have some good players. But I think they clearly have to do some sort of rebuild to just get some young talent in. And, like, they need midfielders. But they still have some of those nice, like, their defenders. What's Henry as a defender?
Kolarjasny, Stewart.
Tom Stewart. Some of these guys are still all right age-wise. Graham Myers is good. Stengel's good. Max Holmes is good. I still have some good players, right? But some of their older brigade just need to be recycled, man.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You know, I think there's probably an opportunity for them to get something for them still. You know, they can get some assets.
I would say so.
Yeah, yeah. But,
well, Chris Scott said, and I'm paraphrasing what I remember I read, but he said something like, we haven't rebuilt in 14 years, so we're not going to do it now.
Exactly.
Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Nah, but he's
it goes along with what I say, which is he's never, since the first year he won the premiership when he was the coach, he's never had a bad list. Last year was probably the hangover year, and you thought, geez, is this now it, or was it just a hangover year?
But now that they're older, hangovers hit harder.
I think it's now
you
it.
You know what I you mean? So, you know, once you're 30, you know, those hangovers take a couple of days.
And they're more like 40. They're more like 40 than 30.
Exactly.
So, to your point, I don't think they will do that. And you know what? Geelong's a very proud team. They haven't been bad in a very long time, like proper bad. And I don't think with their current list, even if Hawkins, Dangerfield, you know, and a couple of the other old heads retired, I don't think they would bottom out because they're still good.
They're not bad. They're a middle tier team.
But how do you rebuild when you're like that? Middle is notoriously hard to build from.
It is, but I actually think that I don't think they will bottom out, and I'm not even suggesting they will.
Yeah,
because they have some. North doesn't have those solid 26, 27 year old solid players to rebuild. That's why they're bottom. Carlton didn't have that either. These guys just need to find a way to get some rejuvenation into their list while those guys still hold the fort.
Yeah, I think there's a certain, you know, mullet head, you know, ACL boy right now.
I think he's perfect for them.
Exactly. So they can easily you know, lure Bailey Smith. I feel like there's other dudes as well, but I can't really think off the top of my head. But like, I'm trying to think. Even McRae?
Yeah, McRae's, you know, not what a bad
I mean?
Option. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because their midfield, look, Max Holmes has been good in there, but you can move him back to the half back line.
Yeah.
You know, you can move him on the wing. You know, Atkins can move back as well. You know, Jai Clark can just get delisted. Nah, I don't know. Like, Parfitt will get delisted. Dudes like that, you know what I mean? Those fringe players, and then they can make way for actual class. You know,
you
what
can't
I mean?
Be waiting for like Guthrie, Cam Guthrie, to come back though to like rejuvenate. Like, you can't, yeah, like, come on,
exactly,
bro.
Yeah.
Are they missing Guthrie, bruh?
Yeah, nah, mate. Guthrie, he was elite 3 seasons ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Which isn't that, it's not that long ago.
Their grand final year. Yeah. He's been a good player, but yeah, come on, man. It's, yeah, time to move on.
Yeah, exactly. With those injuries, you can't rely on that. That's just a luxury if he's good, you know?
Yeah. Do we want to talk about quickly the decision for him to put, what's it called in the ruck? De Koning.
As soon as I saw that, I thought, all right, firstly, Tom's going to have a day out.
And he did.
And he did. He absolutely did. Mm. And secondly, I thought, typical Chris Scott, like, thinks he can just play any player anywhere and just the team's that good that it'll work.
And
like,
the other thing is he just disregarded the fact that he was versing Mackay and Kerno and put his strongest, tallest defender, maybe not strongest, but tallest defender in the ruck. Like, that's dumb.
Ludicrous. And then Kerno kicks 5, yeah. Mackay, what, 3? Yeah. Come on.
Nah, he's a dumbo.
Jerk.
I reckon we'll move on to the next game.
Do it.
And another spanking. And this one is an entertaining spanking because, mate, Ken Hinckley, his job's in trouble, man.
He's been booed.
I know. That's crazy. For a coach to get booed by fans.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a good look, man. No. Not a good look. And I think, let's be fair, it stems from this dude just being like, you know, just, he's similar to Chris Scott in a way. You know what I mean? Just the, you know, stubborn old man.
In a way,
you know?
That they've both been around now over 10 years coaching their teams.
Yeah.
12, I think, for Ken.
Wait, Ken's been Ports
12 years.
Oh, my God.
12 years, many prelims.
Who
no
was it before him? I don't even remember who it was before him.
Good question, Ooh. Bro. I can't remember.
You know, I'm going to have a look.
While
I'm
you're figuring it out, I want to just have a laugh at something, right? So, this was Port Adelaide's anniversary of their grand final year, right? And they come out in their retro jerseys, which admittedly are cool.
Oh, right? I love those jerseys.
Admittedly, very cool.
Oh, I was going to say, those kids are sexy.
All right, so they come out, and applauding them on their way through the banner is the ex-players, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you proceed to imitate the 07 team that got spanked.
Got the wrong year. Wrong year.
Wrong year, boys. Wrong year. That was a disgrace of a performance, man. Oh, like, Kane Corns picked apart a few plays on the Sunday footy show.
Yeah.
Just showing, like, no chase. No baseline effort. Mm. Like,
and it, you know what it was? It wasn't just that. It was just pressing when you shouldn't be pressing and just dumb plays. Like, there's a guy already covering that player and then, you know, so let's say, you know, one of the halfbacks would press up and then all of a sudden, you know, Brisbane are at the back, which they love.
And exactly it's right. Just, they played into Brisbane's hands so hilariously, stupidly.
Yeah.
Hipwood is making a joke of you. But Danaher's in great form in his own right.
Yeah.
Bailey's back. Yeah. Like, they're as good as they've been all year, and you decide, you know what, we're just going to let them run at us all game long. That's like what you'd expect North to pull up a few weeks ago.
At the Gabba last year.
Yeah, something like that, man. Like, this is, if you're a top 8 team, you can't lose by 80 points to anybody. I'm sorry. No. That's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
On the Ken booing, right? After the game, and I appreciate his comments when he said, like, it's part of the job.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but it is what it is. I want us to get better. The one thing, and I hope they do this behind doors, because you're not going to say everything to the media, but you have been the coach for a long time. If your fans are starting to boo, personal experience, I can tell you, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
I don't know how you turn that around.
Well, it's interesting. Didn't they give him a contract extension?
Correct, because they had an incredible year last year.
Yeah.
That win streak.
He was under pressure, then they had like a great season.
Correct, and your team's better this year. It's better. You got Radicalia, you got Zirk Thatcher, who's average, but you recruited specifically for that, you know, weakness in your team.
One thing I will say about the list, their forward line has fallen away.
Yeah.
And it's obvious, right? And they've been talking about it a lot, but George Jardis is coming back from injury. Ollie Lord's been out, and he was one of their shining lights towards the end of last season. Charlie Dixon got dropped.
He's the big one. He's because he's the type of guy that when he was in, they won. When he was out, he lost.
He's one of those dudes. We were riding him last year, man. We were riding Charlie Dixon, let's be fair. You know, he provides, like, I feel like, I remember, like, you know, your words, he provides structure to a team because he's the contested mark. You know, this is not there right now. You know, but you can't fall away that
and
heavy.
Tom Marshall can't kick straight when he's always been like a consistent kick.
Yeah. So their previous coach, right? Yeah. A former player.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
I think I remember now.
Yeah.
Big boy?
What's that?
Big man?
Don't know. Don't know. Right. I can't remember because it was a bit before my time as a player. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's a name. His last name is the name of a band, and his initials are MP.
Oh, Matty Primus.
Primus.
He's a ruckman. Yeah, ruckman.
So yeah, so he was from 2010 to 2012, and then before that it was Mark Williams.
Yeah.
So has it, they haven't had a lot of coaches. Yeah. It's not like North, for example. We've had like a new coach every 2 years. Sometimes every. Oh, half
that's
a
the
year.
Other extreme, right? But
yeah,
I don't care if they keep him. To be honest, like I know I was harping on about it for a while, but. You know, he's obviously done a good job over the years. But if you're that long into a tenure and your team looks a bit, whatever you can say, demotivated, lacking structure, is it on the... You mentioned a few players are out. Is it the list? Is it just like, hey, I've got no more ideas of how to squeeze the best out of you guys anymore?
Mm.
I don't know. I personally, I don't care. But
look, they've had somewhat of a consistent list for a while. And, you know, if you want to use the Carlton analogy... You want the team to be building and creating that identity and then stabilizing, and they're not. They're not. Mm. They're not even winning games at home now. That was their whole thing. They'll beat teams below them at home. Well, they're not. So they've got problems.
Yeah, they do. They do. You reckon Horn Francis is going to request another trade, or is the guy, you know? Who would he even request a trade to?
Baggers.
Back to North.
Hitch him back to North, man. He sees the future.
He goes up to West Coast.
We've got no spot in our midfield anymore.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's not taking Will Phillips' spot, mate. That dude, he's a stopper. what's it called? We got to give some credit to Brisbane. Let's 100%. Before we get too carried away, you know, shit talking Port. Yeah, Brizzy, mate. They're firmly back in finals contention. And honestly, I think they're going to make it.
I think they could make top four, bro. There's one spot in the four available, right? Mm. I'd say Sydney, Carlton, Collingwood. There's one spot. They're not that far out. What are their points wise?
I'll have a quick look, right? So they are 30 points, right? Essendon, who's in the top three, are 38. That's only two wins,
man. Yeah, they can easily make the top four, man.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, admittedly, about 3 weeks ago on the pod, we put the line through them. We put the, wait, Georgie what? And I, because we didn't have, you know, Dino to give us, you
what
know,
goes on when I'm not around here?
Bro, we start wilding, bro. We start wilding. We say, yeah, Collingwood's actually pretty shit.
The thing is like, let's not, like, they were playing some bad football.
No, they deserved it at the time.
But now they've come out after the bye and they're spanking teams. This is different. Yeah. They spanked the Bulldogs. Now they spanked Port in Port. Hmm. This is away from home they're winning.
Yeah. Look, this is like Carlton's last year where they sucked bad.
And then they've just rejuvenated. Yeah.
Exactly. Same with North this year. You know what I mean?
The bye does wonders, honestly. Like, it's actually crazy.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why, you know, some clubs, you know, we got to get one earlier. You know what I mean? What if North had a bye during, you know... During the first six rounds,
that's
mate.
The big what if of this season.
I know. Otherwise, we might have made finals.
If North Melbourne had an extra buyer, then
sliding doors moment.
I wanted to mention like one guy. I said his name before. Eric Hipwood, right? I swear, the last time I paid attention to a Brisbane game, this guy had the yips. He was playing horribly.
Eric Hipwood.
Eric Hipwood was in full effect, right? He couldn't do anything, but you could see it, and like his teammates getting around him, and it was like a Mackay situation when he was down in the dumps, like. Anything he did was like pat on the back, right? Then he's just turned around and become like Jeremy Cameron.
He's ferocious, bro.
Honestly, he's playing like Jeremy Cameron at the moment. Not for, you know, the longevity, obviously, but it's a rich vein of form.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And when you're 200 centimeters,
like, how does that happen, though? Like, sports psych slash buy slash what?
Look, man, the AFL players are capable players.
Very capable.
Right. So a lot of it is about their fitness. Like, look at Heaney. He's played his whole career as like a talented player that doesn't reach his potential. He's had his first proper preseason this year, right? His mind's good, his body's good, and he's the best player in the comp. Like, who knows what goes in the back, you know, behind closed doors. So he's obviously got himself physically and mentally right. It's probably been a team thing where they've got together and said, hey, boys, what are we doing? Let's get our shit together.
Yeah.
And he's playing like that, so it's pretty cool.
No, it is cool. And you know what? Like, credit to their forwards, you know, they did great. You know, five for him and three for Danaher. But the midfield spanked Ports. And Port has a good midfield. They smacked a good Port midfield, you know, which is just, that's credit where credit's due.
It's a very good midfield, a little bit flat track bullyish in the way that they're all predominantly offensive superstars.
Yeah.
Brisbane, I think, has got more balance when they're on. Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, no. Line's looking good. I think their defense is still, for me now, not where they need it to be. It's not like a really solid Carlton-Sydney defense, but I don't think we're talking about them being that good anyway.
Nah.
But, you know, Really good team currently.
Actually, flowers for one more player, Oscar McInerney. Three goals for a ruckman. 30 hit outs. Like that's impressive, man.
A little dribble goal as well.
Yeah, no, man. He's low key a gun, mate. He's better than Decaney.
He's pretty good though. Big O. He's an underrated ruckman. Like Big O and Wits. Something about the North that people just, you know how in Game of Thrones the North remembers? The North does not remember in the case of ruckman, bro.
No. Absolutely forgot.
They're good ruckmen. That most ruckmen are actually just good players. Like Nan Kervis for Richmond is a great player, but no one's looking at him like some superstar. But like the main ruck, Sean Darcy had a massive game. There's only a few ruckmen for like you met like Cherry. Like there's a few ruckmen in the league that are not good. Like I'd say Port Soldo.
Sweet and Soldo. Sweet
is probably the worst ruck. Who else is just not a good ruck?
It's a good time to be a ruck. West Coast
don't have a great setup ruck-wise.
Nah,
but most teams have like one really good player.
No, you're right.
I think Grundy, Gorn, DeConing, Cherry, Witts, Jackson. Like there's so
English Marshall.
You know what I mean? Mm. Yeah.
No, good point.
That's fair.
And even that's why it's so hard to pick Australian ruck.
Yeah, look, I don't know if it really is hard.
Yeah, because
but in saying that, I was gonna say Gorn and Grundy, but the thing is. If Carlton are top three, DeConing he has to get the spot.
I think DeConing.
Seriously, he has to.
I think he's coming. Like, if he plays like that every week, he has to be ruck.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you drop Gorn?
They might do two rucks. They might
because
do two
Sydney's,
rucks.
They're going to want to squeeze Sydney players in, so Grundy will get a spot. And, you know, amazing. Deservedly anyway, not just squeezing him in.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Do you drop Gorny if they drop off a bit?
Maybe. Because Gorny hasn't been as good as he was for the first 12 rounds.
He's just gone. He just dominates every week. Yeah. But
exactly. But it's getting old now. You know what I mean? I'm bored. You know, what can you do for me?
Personally,
next,
I'm not. He's on my Supercoach draft, so I'm not bored even slightly. But no, that's a fair call. Speaking of Grundy, shall we talk about the Swans Giants game?
Yeah, look, that game. It doesn't look so bad like now, but it was bad.
Yeah.
Like GWS had to claw that back.
I was watching the KO mini because I couldn't watch the game live. And some of the goals Sydney was kicking, like snaps, kicks on the run for 50. And then I noticed it was raining. I'm like, how does this not look like a wet weather game when it's raining? They're just an elite team. Scoreboard pressure are just nuts at times.
Bro, Goulden was on time on ground 98% for 41 possessions.
How can a man be that much fitter than a bunch of professionals?
What is this kid? Like they're... I've obviously just talked about Carlton and like ran amazing, but this is just on another level of craziness, this team. Three wins clear in the top, percentage crazy. They've got guns coming out of their ass. I've said it multiple times, but like Parker's not playing. Their captain isn't even playing. But they found another one in row bottom.
Exactly, had a huge game.
Like, wow. I don't know what else to say.
Nah, fair. Like 20 contested disposals for James Robot.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to search that up to let you
And he doesn't even look like, he always gets high tackles and high contested. And he's pretty lightly built guy.
Yeah, no.
He just really cracks in.
Just another blonde head Sydney player.
That's it. Hey, that's just the MO for them.
That's
bro.
The formula.
It's like if he's blonde, draft him. You know, that's it. We're ready to go.
There's local blondes in your area. That's what they are.
Look, I'm looking at the photo of him. Is he blonde, bro? That's kind of brown, bro.
Oh, shit.
Nah, look.
He dyed his hair.
Yeah, maybe he did. But look, it's long and flowing, so when it shines, it kind of has that, it's got that blonde.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's got that blonde vibe.
Look,
to it.
I was watching the game a bit, and, they usually have a bit of, like, they call it the rivalry. And I feel like GWS have been somewhat competitive against Sydney, even though Sydney's won most of them recently. But then Sydney just kind of burst away, and I was looking at a 40-point margin. I'm like, am I surprised? I'm not surprised. You know, Tom Green resurged a little bit and had a good performance. Whitfield tried hard. But it's just the weighted numbers of Sydney. Yeah, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, no. Like even the debutant, Max Grozewski,
he can't
do enough. His two goals isn't enough to,
Max Grozewski.
Max Grozewski. I just had to say his name, I just had to give him a little shout out. Flowers for having a mad name. I mentioned him to you about it, I think a bit earlier in the year, Dino, because, as North fans, we want key forwards, And I'm like, why is this guy not getting a game? His numbers in the VFL are mad, And he comes in, kicks a couple goals, Cadman's out the side. Now he's available to come to North. We'll get Cadman instead. That's fine. You know.
Well, no, I like your thinking about that.
That's it, man. If anyone gets omitted, you know, Clarko, pick up the phone, bro. Come on.
My favorite pastime is looking at VFL stats for key forwards not getting a game. Crazy.
That's a niche hobby.
Obscure hobby.
I like Toby Pink, but like, I don't know how long that can last.
I think we can afford an upgrade. I think, if I'm being honest, as much as I love Pinky. Nah,
look, I'll do a bit of overtime so I can pay for the upgrade. Don't worry, man. Like, I'll help him out.
Generous guy.
Mate, anything. Bleed blue and white. You know?
That's it, man. But look, I was hoping for a more competitive game. I was actually looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sydney's just that good now, I guess. It doesn't work that way.
They're the boys, man. They're the boys. Dino.
Oh, it's time, is it?
It's time.
It's North time. All right. So you didn't watch the game, Atta. You were getting some sleep.
Thanks for calling me out directly on the pod. But yeah, look, I had morning shift on Saturday and on the Sunday, which we're recording right now.
I got you.
I couldn't stay out for a 7:30 game. I would have died.
No, I got you. You got to do what you got to do, man. Yeah,
But I'm up to speed though. I know what happened.
100%.
You know, this isn't the first time I'm looking at the score and, you know.
And Georgie didn't watch the game either. So the point I was making was me being at the game, I think I've got a very unique perspective to offer that maybe you guys don't have.
I'm not going to rebuttal you, dude. Fair enough.
So I'm at the game, right?
No, you weren't.
Liar. Where'd you get that t-shirt from, bro?
Online. But I honestly thought we were going to win this game. And I know you guys know me, I'm very optimistic. Yeah.
Well, you saw me tipping on the pod last week. We're going to win this.
I did. And you know what? I was having a bit of chess because obviously the week before, Collingwood game, and the week before that, and really since the bye, we've been competitive. So I thought if we can be competitive, Melbourne's there for the taking. Unfortunately, the way the game started, Melbourne come off the bye, and you can tell their main message was, let's just not let this young team bully us. And the one thing Melbourne did right was just compete from minute one to the end. Even when we got the ascendancy at the end, they were tough to beat. And that's fully Melbourne's credit. I want to start with that. Like, they took their chances in the first half. Even the first three quarters when they were winning by 30-plus points, the scoreboard was flattering them. And anyone that watched the game would see that North was at least good value to be within a couple goals, not 30-plus points that it ballooned out to. But North Melbourne, man, this team is just growing in front of our very eyes. The core players, and you look at the stats the last 3 weeks, you'll see. LDU, Sheasel, Wardlaw. LDU, Sheasel, Wardlaw, Sherry. LDU, and so on.
I was going to say, thank you for mentioning Sherry. I was going to say.
Every week, right?
Don't sleep on the big man. Big
and
helmet.
That tells me now that, hey, this isn't just, they had a good week, 2 good weeks, 3 good weeks. I think this is just it now. We have 3 very good midfielders and a very good ruckman that are tough, skillful, and keeping us in the games because they're just that good. I've got a bunch of notes here, but firstly, I just wanted to say that last quarter, at 3/4 time, me and my wife and my friends, we went down and got some crepes because I thought, game's over. It's cold. Let's go get a hot chocolate and some crepes, right? True story. And I'm watching on the TV, us kick the first goal of the last quarter. And we're at that point down by still about 30 points. I'm like, we've left it too late, even if something happens. Mm. And then we just kept going and kept going and kept going.
And like, stuff these crepes.
So you went back to the seats.
No, we're back in the seats, level one. It was rowdy. I know the crowd numbers, and I'll talk about that later, were bad. Mm. But where I was all North, and I haven't been in that atmosphere for so long.
How good.
You said it before with the Carlton
game.
Yeah, it was like that, and we had it, man. And honestly, like, seeing the young team just not give up is just an incredible, incredible thing to see. And there's no way this team won't have success in the next 3 to 5 years. No way. I can't see a world where that midfield and McCurch is coming in, Dersma's coming in, Common in defense. Like, there's just no way we won't be at least a solid team. I can't see it.
That's it. Yeah.
Siren went. I'm applauding our guy. I was gutted, but I'm standing ovationing my team off the field because I know I'm seeing something special transforming in front of my eyes here. And North fans on the way out, we're all just looking at each other like gutted, but there was a few guys I spoke to just like, we're learning. Don't worry. We're looking at each other. We're like tapping each other on the back. Like, there's a real camaraderie amongst the North fans and every other fan base. And I'm going to talk about Melbourne in a sec, would give up on their team as soon as things go bad. And you know what? I might as well bring it up now. There were Melbourne fans leaving halfway through the 4th quarter. When we were getting the ascendancy, there was not a lot, but a couple people in the area were leaving. That's and I'm poor. Like, you're still winning. Like, do you have a divine right to beat North Melbourne by more than a couple goals just because we're North Melbourne? You disgraces. There was 28,000 people at a Melbourne home game on a Saturday night.
Melbourne crowds just suck, bro.
Disgusting. I actually looked up North Melbourne's last Marvel home game was the Frio ages ago. The Hawthorn one.
Yeah.
But our worst crowd of the year was that Frio one that everyone gave a shit about, which was 18,000.
Mm.
Last night was 28,000. And that was Frio. And that was a North home game who's been in the dumps for years.
Mm.
Melbourne has a couple bad weeks and loses Petrarca, season over now apparently, and they didn't show up.
I actually think Melbourne have some of the worst numbers and support.
And this isn't anything against the ones there, obviously. Mm. You know, good on them for coming and they were all respectful and good fans. But the ones that just have stopped showing up now, you're a disgrace. Mm.
And this is why your grand final wasn't in Melbourne. That's why. The AFL knew that you guys...
couldn't sell it out.
Nah, they're like, you know, no point having it at the G.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that. Like, absolutely disgusting, right?
Mm.
One thing I think as well, like from minute one, the Melbourne fans that were there, nervous. And something I never thought I'd see at this point of the rebuild was we're not looked at like an easy beat anymore. And you'd be lying if you played North and said, guarantee we're smashing them anymore. That's just, I don't think fair and I don't think wise to do because we're playing tough footy and Melbourne learnt that the hard way. Like they couldn't put us away.
Yeah.
Mm. Look, back to the game. Melbourne took their chances. There was a few moments where like Rivers will kick a running goal from 50.
Yeah. And then we miss a set shot.
A minute later, Wardlaw will have a running goal from 50. Miss.
Mm.
Pink will miss a set shot. Van Ruin will score a set shot. Like it was just those swings, literally just like that. Mm. We'll miss an easy one, they'll get an easy one. And the whole game, it felt like it should have been closer than it was. And unfortunately, you can't win a game most of the time when you're down by over 30 points at three-quarter time. But in saying that, yeah, the hustle and heart the guy showed, crazy.
And the thing about it is that hustle was shown after the previous week. You know, it went the opposite way.
Correct.
All of a sudden, we're clawing back games. You know, that's something that, you know, they got to take a lot of encouragement from.
Yep. A few individual things, right? So Melbourne first, Stephen May. We'll talk about his incident.
Mm.
That guy's a player, man. Mm. Dear God, like when you're at the game, you can actually see how he sets up behind the ball. The amount of times I'm seeing our guy ready to kick it, and I'm like, don't kick it there. You can see him. Don't do it. Don't do it. And they did it. And he's just an incredible player. Joke of an incident where he acted like his head was slung into the ground.
Yeah.
And joke for the umpires to pay. Like, I get they're maybe just scared to not call it, like get scrutinized even more. But like,
yeah.
It's embarrassing on both hands, especially on May.
Yeah, well, he's going to the MRO now.
He got fined.
He got fined. Good, good staging. That's I like it. You know? In soccer, that's a yellow card.
But exactly. I don't want to take away from how good he was, though.
Yeah, fair.
A couple other players to highlight, and everyone's finally seeing what me and Matza have seen. Jackson Archer. I said it the other week when I was on the pod.
Mm.
These kids played 14 games, and he just kept Bailey Fritsch not only goalless, but like almost disposalless.
Mm.
He couldn't get the ball.
Yeah, and Bailey Fritsch got angry at the kid. He was going for him, you
right?
know?
Like, and he's not just locking him down. There was some times where he's just attacking the ball, and like there was one Matza. I swear you're gonna love this, man.
Yeah.
The ball's up for grabs.
Yeah.
Archer gets to it first, and just like, you remember the old Glenn Archer body to body and just bounce off me? He did that. And he's nowhere near as heavy as his old
crazy,
man was.
Man.
Like when these kids, he's genetic. 21. He's 21, right? When he's 25 and he's actually a unit, he's going to be destroying people.
Mm. Here's a player for him to look up to. Dane Rampey. A bit undersized.
But he's tougher than him. He'll be tougher than him.
And that's the thing where he's got the advantage. He's got the toughness. But if he's that type of player, we've got a serious one on our hands here, man.
Crazy, man. Yeah. Will Phillips... Me and Matza, ever since we drafted him, have been saying, our eyes do not deceive us. This kid has talent. Why isn't he playing? And there's a variety of reasons. Like his draft year was affected by COVID. Then he got glandular fever, missed the whole year. He's had a rough go at it. And to see him in the team now, locking down Clayton Oliver, who's not having the best year, but he was anonymous.
Bro, he had like, how many touches did Oliver have? Like 5 touches.
I don't know.
Like, he was nowhere to be seen, right?
I have to get disposals and then go to the bottom.
While you do that, yeah. He locks him down, but he didn't get too much of the ball himself. But when he gets it, he's clean.
Mm.
And I'm so wrapped for him that he's in the team because you've spent pick 3 on him.
14.
You have a, there you go, 14 touches. Mm. You have a sort of like a responsibility as a club when you draft someone so high to squeeze as much
squeeze all the juice,
talent and juice out of them as you can. And we're finally doing that, and I'm so pleased to see it.
One of the plays you were talking about earlier was the overhead hand pass at the start of a chain. There's that, and there was the kick into the 50, just grabbing the ball, putting it on the boot and hitting a target on the opposite foot. That's crazy, man. That's class. You know, that's footy IQ is what that is. Exactly. So,
and a few other guys I wanted to shout out. Eddie Ford, aside from his talent, sometimes you just need a bit of shithousery on your team. And this guy's a bit of an asshole. He's taken a specky over Gorn, showing a bit of lip, misses the set shot, gave the finger to Jack Viney after it.
After missing the set shot.
You know what I mean? Yeah. By the way, the bird's back. That's 3 weeks in a row where someone's getting flipped off. Anyway.
It is, mess. The year of the bird, year of the tagger.
You know what I mean? And you look at someone like Jack Henry from Geelong getting all this praise. Eddie Ford is arguably better than him, but no one talks about
him. You mean Ollie
Henry? Sorry, Ollie Henry. Yeah. Ollie Henry from Geelong is arguably not as good of a player as Eddie Ford is, but no one will talk about him.
That's fair. That's fair. Look, in saying that, I feel like Ollie, what's his name? Can't even think. Ollie Henry's got, he's got quite a few goals this year.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
But he's playing in a better team.
Yeah, it's
true.
If
you swap the two, I guarantee Eddie Ford will be getting the same praise.
That's a big call. That's a big call. Because especially like Eddie Ford, like let's be fair, the average AFL enjoyer probably doesn't know Eddie Ford is.
But no one watches North, man.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That is true.
And just one or two more, right? So I've got Paul Curtis. I get frustrated sometimes because he's fending people off all the time and he is a strong guy. Did you know, and this came out because it's his 50th game this week, he benches, his max bench press. Have a guess.
I do know for Paul Curtis. All right,
George, have a guess how much this kid can bench.
I don't think I'm the right person to be asking bench press, bro.
Bro, apparently, and everyone was saying it as a fact, 165 kilos.
Paul Curtis, number five.
No, that's Curtis Taylor.
Nah, 25.
Oh, Paul Curtis.
Paul Curtis, yeah.
See what I mean? Doesn't even know who he is, respectfully.
Yeah, respect.
But like what I'm trying to say is this guy's fending off people more than almost anyone in the league, but no one's talking about him.
Yeah, it makes sense. And then, you know, the fact that because he does push off, and that's exactly the muscles you need, is the bench press muscles.
Well, wouldn't you want to fend everyone off if you can bench 165?
He does seem like he's strong. He does seem like he's strong, yeah.
So anyway, all this is to say confidence has gone through the roof, but the I take this 3 weeks as not – this is the expectation now. This isn't like a fluke or one or two, three games. Mm. North is a decent enough team now to stay in games. I'm not saying we're going to win a whole lot, but we've gone from embarrassment to easy beats to 50-point loss expectation. Now we're at the admirable loss stage.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to see it. And I walked out gutted but happy.
Mm. And I think that's the thing. The main thing is we're in the honourable loss stage, but it's – they're genuine honourable losses. And North fans can go to the footy and feel proud of what they've seen at the end of every game.
100%.
Because that has not been a thing probably for the last 5 years. Seriously, now we can go and feel good about the team, regardless of the result. You know what I mean? You can enjoy it. You can root for this team.
There's a real world where we could be 3-0 after the byes. We weren't far off the other night, and we weren't far off the other week. So, just wrap, man. LDU, I think, will stay. He's expiring his contract end of next year. And surely by then, we'll show enough. Zerha's the end of this year.
Yeah, that's the interesting one. And I was saying to them before the pod.
I hope he stays.
Look, I hope he stays as well. If he does leave, I honestly would hate him more than Horn Francis. Just because of the shit that he gave Horn Francis. Really hypocritical if he does leave. And his tattoos are getting annoying. But he's a gun, though. He's been so good. Since we've been playing well, he's been playing well. A bit of a barometer. Mm. So hopefully he can stay along. And, I can, maintain following Bulls cooking. And, enjoy watching the steaks that he makes and stuff.
Yeah. But, I'm wrapped. It's a nice progression. Happy to see it. I think we'll talk about it later. We're playing the Dogs this week. Mm. We're not the favourites. Mm. But I'm going to the game expecting half-time, three-quarter time, to be within reach where you could say, even if we're 4 goals down, let's give it a crack. It's no longer shit how much this week. I think those days are dead, thank God, and onwards and upwards.
Yeah, no, I like it, Dana. I like it. I can't really think of anything else to add because you sort of summarized it quite nicely, to be honest with you. I reckon we'll jump into the next game, I think, just because, well done, Dana. You killed that. That was some vintage. That was some vintage, Dana. You know what I mean?
Thanks, man.
Vintage Randy Orton. You know what I mean?
I had a lot of notes. I actually had to reorder them into a logical train of thought because they were just like,
yeah, you needed to do, you know, like when you do essay writing, teal.
Oh man,
you know, a linking sentence.
Teal. ChatGPT, just restructure my points to make sense, please.
No, well done, Dino. Dino, thanks, man. That was mad. All right, so Essendon, they won the game against the Eagles, but throughout that whole game, we were just saying, "Bruh, this team shit." Yeah. During the chat, in the chat, it's like, "Bruh, what are these guys doing?" You know,
look, all the comments on Instagram were like, "Yeah, no, we're still waiting for them to kind of, you know, beat someone."
And that's fair. Yeah. Look, I don't think Bombers fans should be annoyed that we don't shower them with praise because they possibly couldn't say we deserve top four praise like Carlton's getting.
They're hell,
not, no, exactly.
No. They're not remotely in the same league, bro. And I'm not saying that as a Carlton supporter. I've just said that like it takes time to get to the point where you're a genuine threat.
Yeah.
These guys have only beating GWS. Only.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, look, hey, they're getting the wins. Their ladder position doesn't lie. But for the general public to consider them a threat, we're going to need to see a bit more evidence that's of them doing it in the biggest of games.
That's all it is, man.
That's all it is. It's nothing personal.
All right. So, look, all right. Next week, they have a tough game. Geelong at Cadinia Park. Oh, no, at the MCG, sorry. But Geelong are out of form.
Yeah.
So, if they topple Geelong,
we still won't
respect them, bro. Look, the next week, Collingwood at the MCG.
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. And see, the week after that, Melbourne.
But they're under four.
And this shit as well.
They're making the top four. Take it back.
There's going to be no Melbourne fans in the ground at that point in time.
Listen to this. Like, so, all right. So, Geelong, Collingwood, and Melbourne at the MCG. And then they've got Adelaide at Marvel. Another easy game. And then St Kilda at Marvel. And then Freo at MCG. Man, this... Suns?
Who made this picture? They're making the top four, bro.
And then the second last round they have Sydney, and then they got Brisbane.
Are they going to be like the
their last two games? Their last two games are going to probably cost them the top four.
They're going to be the least respected top four team of all time.
I know.
Imagine they finish third, and Carlton finish second, and Carlton gets to verse them in a qualifying final. Be the best moment of my life, bro.
I would be lying if I said I didn't have an agenda that I want them to make the top four and lose both.
Yeah.
So they still don't win a final.
And they have a hard fixture next year.
Yes, love
true,
it.
True.
No, look, honestly, if they start playing good footy and just go on a win streak, I will, after the Collingwood game, I'll acknowledge it.
Yeah.
If they win the next two.
That's fair.
It still takes something to be able to consistently beat teams, right? At the end of the day.
Correct.
It's crazy that last week, you were talking them up, actually, Georgie.
I said that they've got some threats, and they do.
Yeah,
I just don't think that they're a complete team.
It's just such a weird thing that a team can lose last week. We can talk good about them. This week, the thing is about it, right? The reason it gets me is because our good mate, Zumi, who we mention every week, right, when we talk about Essendon, he didn't listen to the previous week against Carlton because he's like, I can't, right? Because George is going to talk too much smack. And then this week, he's going to listen. We're talking even more smack.
I didn't even talk smack last week.
No,
bro.
You didn't.
So he's tuning in like, this week I'll listen because surely they'll say something nice when we won again. No,
it doesn't work that way.
SN, you win. Too bad, bro.
Poor Zumi. Oh, shit. Sorry, man.
No, shout out Zumi, man.
Look, I do have a few nice things to say about some of their plays, though. Laverty was a brick wall today. He was incredible.
Yeah.
What's his name? Dersma back. Played well.
Yeah.
Matt has been talking him up on the Supercoach
pod. Caldwell.
Caldwell's been excellent.
Bruh, and it pisses me off because I'm not going to be able to afford him now. I'm not going to be able to afford him because Jai Clark got 31 from 60 Dream Team, the Malacca. He had nine clangers, man. Come on,
just
man.
Just calm it down, Matt. Calm it down.
Yeah. I can't calm it down, man.
Caldwell has been like their main midfield guy the whole year. Like even Merritt rests forward a little bit. He goes out on the wing. Mm. Caldwell, like they're putting a lot of trust in this kid.
And he's delivering. And he really looks motivated.
He's tough.
Him and Durham really motivated.
Is he the GWS guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm bad. I dropped 2,000 ranks, bro.
Would you get 19?
That is deplorable.
All right, let's not depress up the pod, Matza. Keep moving.
I'm going to be toxic, man.
If you want to see Matza cry, watch the Supercoach app this week.
Oh,
it's over.
It just sucks, bro.
What'd you get?
19-29, bro.
Oh, smasher.
What'd you get, eh?
20-40. And that's with bringing Luke Jackson for a 66.
Oh, that makes me feel slightly better. But what did Ridley get? 84.
Just talk amongst yourselves. Nah. Maybe put your mics down. I wanted to talk about the Eagles a little bit.
No, yeah, go for it. So I'm paying attention. I'm looking at my team. Don't worry, man.
They've got Oscar Allen back now.
Yeah.
And they've finally got their forward line that they've been waiting to be fit at the same time. Probably for like 3-4 years.
Yeah, mate. He had one specific contested mark, and I'm just like, oh.
He's a boss, yeah.
Oh. So and then he missed the set shot. But
doesn't matter.
He What did I say? He really butters my. What did I say in that voice message?
Oscar Allen.
Don't worry about it. I digress.
But yeah, him and Waterman, I guess what I'll be watching to the end of the year is, can they stay fit? Can they be like a 1-2 punch? Because not many teams have a 1-2 punch of good forwards.
Two very good forwards, yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
I like Liam Ryan in the midfield as well.
Look, some of these players, you just need to get them in the game when they're more like a small forward because they don't get the ball as often.
Yeah.
Like, you'd rather him touching it 15 times than 8.
Yeah.
So why not?
Had a couple like really strong center clearances, so that's something different.
But yeah, not much else to say about this game, boys.
Yeah, that's more than
I thought. The other game, even less to talk about, to be honest. Frio versus
Suns. So onto the tips.
Honestly, I did not watch more than 5 minutes of the Frio Suns game. Frio's apparently fifth, which is very good. Suns are a bit fraudulent.
Suns are no good because they can't win at home. They haven't won one game this year away.
The thing that I find funny about that, it must be the conditions because it's not like they're... fans are like building a fortress, like an army that's getting behind them at each week. So
yeah, it's not the crowd, you're right.
It's the conditions.
Well, I don't know. Damien Hardwick said he had 70% of the list for a premiership list. Do you reckon maybe his calculations were a bit wrong?
Yeah, no, I don't know if he knows how percentages work or something, man.
I think Hardwick just thought, hey, I've won premierships. Let's just do it again.
Look, some of their midfielders, like Rao, was having such an amazing first half of the season. He's really slowed down. He's finding it very hard to get ball that isn't just a handball in the contest. Anderson has amazing games and then poor games and then amazing games. Miller has been okay, but some of their midfield drive looks incredible some weeks and really poor the other week, so that's not that consistent. They didn't have King playing, which affects their scoring. I don't know, man. Like, it's hard to really know where they're at, but they're just kind of like, they're not going to make the eight this year, I don't think. It's another year where they're not a final team. Yeah.
It's a shame.
So I can't afford Jai Caldwell, but I can afford
Jalikerno.
Jalikerno comes into the side. He's the F6.
Big broad shoulders.
Big broad shoulder.
The gun. Jalikerno. The superstar.
Mate, he's a gun.
Let's do some tips, man.
I'm happy to do some tips, man. Look, we'll jump over to round 6. It's round 16, bro. That's crazy. That time flies, baby. Brisbane versus Melbourne at the Gabba. Not
pretty
much.
Clear.
Yeah.
Brisbane. Yeah.
Yeah. See, next one, a bit more interesting. North Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs at Marvel. But, like, look, this is the one game where I'm not going to be like, North's got it.
Dogs
like,
are in good form, man.
They're a better team, you know. I'm happy to go with the Doggies, you know. Not going to do the irrational North pick like I'd love to.
I'll do it for the pod's behalf. Not that you'll put them on the board.
I won't.
Look, I think we've been winning most stats for the last 3 weeks. And I think if we do that again, we'll be in the game.
The difference, I think.
I know the Dogs are better than...
Well, I think Dogs' midfield's in serious form at the moment. So they're going to give your young boys a bit of a challenge, I think.
It's going to be great to watch. Personally, I'm excited for it, but...
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where Will Phillips goes. Yeah. Does he go to Bont? Because Bont's too big.
Yeah, he can't go to Bont.
Maybe even like a Lipper or a Richards.
I think he goes to Treloar.
Treloar.
Treloar hasn't been tagged this year.
Yeah, look, let's do something different. Yeah, that's it. Why not? Next game, Sydney versus Frio at Sydney. Then that People's First, Gold Coast versus Collingwood. And yeah, we can't really
There'll be more Pies fans, like genuinely, than Gold Coast. So I'll go Collingwood.
It'd be a big upset if they lost that.
Yeah. We'll go Adelaide versus GWS at Adelaide. That's kind of interesting, to be honest with you.
It is interesting.
Like, I don't think we think that GWS are a better team, obviously.
Yeah, but they're not.
But they're not great. Like, you can't like pick them with confidence.
I'm gonna go Crows.
I'm gonna go GWS. So Dino makes the call.
I'll go Giants as well.
All right, there we go. Geelong versus Essendon at the MCG. I think the Bombers will probably win, man.
I think the Bombers will win as well.
Like, I just don't think Geelong.
I'll go Bombers.
Yeah, mom.
Why not?
St Kilda versus Port at Marvel.
By the way, full round of footy.
Yeah,
I know. How many teams are there?
What's going on here?
I know, it's crazy, man. This will be round done by now.
St Kilda v Port, interesting.
It's a weird one. At Marvel.
That is the grossest game ever.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to go with Port because I think they're going to have to respond for their coach because St Kilda are bad. Let's be fair, they are bad. You know, I don't know, man.
I like Port, yeah.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, Port. All right. Yeah, we'll go Port.
Richmond versus Carlton at the MCG.
Ugh, I can't wait.
Spanking.
Spanking from Carlton. West Coast versus Hawthorn at Optus. We got to go Hawks.
Got to go Hawks.
But the Reed factor.
The Reed's back.
Yeah, true. They're going to get up and about with Rito back.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he'll be fresh as well. He's had a little holiday, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
rejuvenated.
Yeah, he could have gone to Europe during that time, you know what I mean? Like, he could have done a 2-3 weeker at, you know,
Bali.
Ibiza, you know, wherever he wants to go. But yeah, that rounds off the round. Look, interesting with our tips, because now I feel pressured with tips, because our mate BB is relying on us for his tipping league.
I wouldn't, bro. We don't take this seriously at all.
That's the thing.
Although that was a good, I think that was a pretty genuine.
Yeah, look,
tipping round for us.
Yeah, look, we've in the weeks that he's copied us, or this person's gone, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, I'm not sure. We've only missed 2 tips in the last 2 weeks. That's pretty good. And honestly, we tipped North, who were the better team, last week. So that was actually, like, I actually think we've been killing it with the tips.
And even thinking about it further, that Essendon Geelong's not going to have Dangerfield either.
Mm.
Or Hawkins. So I think definitely Essendon for that.
Yeah. No, there we go.
Can I tell a very quick story to end the pod on a bit of a light note?
Yeah, 100%.
So quarter time of the footy, the North game, there was entertainment. You know, they do various things, races, goal kicking, whatever. What they did at the Melbourne one was 2 giant inflatable footballs, like I'm talking big footballs, and 2 people from the crowd trying to roll them into the goals first, or whoever would do it first would win the prize, from about 50, 40 meters out was the starting point. So they're just pushing the ball, right? So they start, and they're getting pretty close to the goals, and one of the guys, it was 2 guys, one of the guys leaves his ball once they get to about 20 meters and starts charging at the other guy's ball and bowls him over, like collects the ball first, and then the ball hit the guy. And everyone in the crowd was like, oh, like laughing, but like, holy shit, what just happened? Turns out they were mates. We didn't know that though.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like, he just ran over this random dude.
Yeah. So then they basically ignore their footballs and like try and hit the other ones away. And then eventually one of them won. But the moment I saw the guy just charging off, like, what is going on? He's going to take out this random guy. Like, it's going to be a fight.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. There was a fight at the halftime of the North game. We didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, no.
The Oski kids were laughing.
I was going to say, in front of the Oski kids.
Anyway.
Role models, mate. Role models, these players.
Thought I'd just tell that little story. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, no. Appreciate that, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no. Look. Pretty decent week of footy, that one, actually.
A whole pod without talking about umpires, should we?
Oh, look, Dino. Look, Chris will be upset without an umpire rant.
I did say a little bit about they should be ashamed with the Stephen May one.
There was
a couple, like even at the Carlton game, Jeremy Cameron.
What was after that? The siren, how did he make that mistake?
Decides to do the Lance Franklin run off the line, not get pinned on it. There was a few calls both ways in the North game that were just weird. They gave a 50-meter penalty that was like 70 meters for North Melbourne.
We'll take it.
Just walked us to the goals. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. But like, my God, horrendous.
Yeah. I have a little theory, right? Mm. And I mentioned this to someone at work. I'm like, look, do you reckon the umpires, because they're right in the middle of the action, right? Like the on-ball umpire, right? Because you know a lot of times the on-ball umpire won't see it and it'll get called by an umpire like 300 meters away, right? Maybe those umpires that are right on the ball, maybe they're scared. Maybe they're like legit. Look at these 200-centimeter blokes, 190-centimeter blokes running around, jacked dudes who could destroy me if they ran into me. If any of the inside midfielders ran into Razor Ray, he'd die. Let's be fair.
Yeah, they're so protected, they shouldn't be.
No, you touch Razor Ray and you're 10 weeks out of the game. Bro.
Yeah, true. Yeah, sure. But I don't know. Do you reckon maybe they're a bit intimidated?
No, I honestly think it's just happening too fast.
Yeah.
And they're just not good. Like it's hard and they're just not good at it.
Yeah. Fair.
There was another goal review at the North game where, like, if that's the post, viewers on YouTube won't care for this, but if this is the post, it was like 30 centimeters easily in the goals, and they reviewed it for did it hit the post? And everyone in the stadium was like, "What? Why are they reviewing this?
You guys,
it was bad.
They can be a bit cooked, though, those boys.
Yeah. Anyway, look. I decided not to rant about it for the North game specifically because that's not the reason we lost the game. So
yeah, it's fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, is what it is.
Anyway, boys, thank you guys.
Thank you. Saw Cameron Mooney. Oh, really? All right.
I guess we'll continue.
Just so we Cam thought it was over.
I just came to my head. He's tall. He's tall.
I'm sure he is. Where'd you see him? What's the go?
At the footy.
Oh, that make really.
Yeah, he gave me a little nod.
Wait, hang on. He was working or like, what was he doing?
So the section where we're sitting, level two, they have, you know, where like Jack Riewoldt and Jordan Lewis and Nathan Buckley sit and they do their thing. I was walking past there trying to get my head in the camera, but I was too short. So I was just putting my hand up. So my hand's on TV behind them.
Yeah.
And then in that section, you know, Cameron Mooney walked past went in the lift. Mm. That guy's tall. Mm.
There you go.
That's what
Cameron Mooney
say.
Equal tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
You heard it here first.
If I had to man up tall. Against that guy on the field, he'd knee me in the head with just by running and I would never recover.
That's fair.
Not all men are made equal.
Fair enough.
That's why you're front of the pack waiting for the bounce.
No, I'm away from the... I'm scared like those umpires Matt is talking about.
I'm trying to think. You're, like we said, you're AFL 9's Lockie Whitfield. Yeah. We did make that
extremely outside player. But Whitfield got the Hulk icon in fan footy today.
That's so fast. I guess you're not him, bro.
No.
Who you may... I'm trying to think. Who would you be like? Dylan Stevens?
Lockie O'Brien, I think.
Lockie O'Brien. There we go. Can't do anything. But that's a decent kick. Yeah. That's a pretty nice kick there, you know.
Anyway, that just came to my head now.
No.
I should have mentioned it earlier.
It's good to get it off your chest.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I can sleep tonight.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys on the next one.
So Dangerfield.
See you guys.
See you, bro.
Hey, Matza, how do you come up with those voice memos at the end of the videos? I don't know, man. I just sort of come up with it, bro. Not sure what I'm going to do this week, though, man. I'm kind of out of ideas. Well, I don't know about this week, man, but next week, Harley Reid's back. Wait, did you say Harley Reid? He's back! Wowee, he's back, yes!